for the president's son, related to his taxes.
A new 9-count criminal indictment accuses Hunter Biden of owing the IRS close to $1.5 million between 2016 and 2019.
Even though the indictment does not refer to President Joe Biden, it will undoubtedly be fodder for his political enemies, including those in Congress who have wanted to investigate Hunter Biden, the business of Burisma, the contact with China, and the failure to pay taxes.
Legal analyst Lori Levinson of Loyola Law. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
We're learning more about this week's mass shooting that killed three faculty members at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas Business School. Sheriff Kevin McMahill with details on the shooter.
We know he applied numerous times for a job with several Nevada higher education institutions and was denied each time.
Newly released video shows the gunman in a shootout with police that led to his death. A fourth faculty member was critically wounded. A major benefactor is threatening to withdraw a whopping donation to UPenn, his alma mater, over comments by the college president during testimony on Capitol Hill. Financier Ross Stevens says he'll take back $100 million if Liz McGill doesn't resign. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro.
Frankly, I thought her comments were absolutely shameful. It should not be hard to condemn genocide. Genocide against Jews, genocide against anyone else.
McGill walked back her remarks the next day. Hamas claims a confrontation with Israeli troops in the Gaza Strip today turned deadly. The BBC's Yolande Nell.
Hamas says its fighters found an Israeli Special Forces unit mounting a rescue attempt and attacked it, killing and wounding several soldiers. It names a hostage it says was also killed.
Police in Bakersfield, California say a 72-year-old driver's been arrested after allegedly backing his pickup truck into three people just before the start of a Christmas parade last night. This woman was in the crowd.
He just put it in reverse and just slammed on the gas and just took off. Well, he was going, fast. And he just slammed on the gas. There was no merging into it. He hit the gas full on.
Police say they're investigating the possibility the driver had been drinking. Tired all the time? New numbers show chronic fatigue syndrome is more common than you might think. A study co-author, the CDC's Dr. Elizabeth Unger, says they found 3.3 million U.S. adults suffer from it. In her words, it is not a rare illness. S&P futures up 3. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Both the Ice Age and North Country National Scenic Trails in Wisconsin are being designated parks under the National Park System. The Ice Age Trail is around 1,200 miles long, running from Polk County to Door County. The North Country National Scenic Trail is around 4,800 miles and crosses through 8 states. Senator Tammy Baldwin has been calling for the designation for nearly a decade, and Thursday's announcement drew bipartisan support. Republican banking mogul Eric Hovde will challenge U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. That's what National Republican Senatorial Committee Chair Steve Daines tells the Journal Sentinel. Hovde himself declined a chance to comment Wednesday night. Hovde is widely considered the most viable of the Republicans in the race. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. More clouds than sun today with a high of 49. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, chance for scattered rain showers 35. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 43.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass. Eyes waiting. Started to wonder. Metamorphosis. Loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Where you commit to walking 3 miles or doing 30 minutes on a bike every day in December.
You know, that's good. That's a decent goal. I have that goal. You know how many days I've reached it in the last month? One. Obviously, exercise produces endorphins, and endorphins make us happy, and happy people don't kill their husbands.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel.
Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame.
Have you ever wondered why there's a NASCAR driver statue in this area? It's for Wisconsin Rapids native Ditch Trickle. One of the first from the state to make it to the national circuit, Trickle was named the winningest short track driver in history. Along with a statue, he has several races here and across the country named in his honor. For Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, I'm Terry.
Back with you at 7:06, live from Lake Sota across the Pacific Media Radio Network on this Friday morning, December 8th. It's actually our last live Friday morning show for 2023. My extended holiday break will begin after next week, Thursday's show. So some of our usual Friday regulars will be back in 2024 when we're going to have a lot to talk about. It's going to be a busy year. I know I'm already working on our newsletter articles for the first week of January. They include letting people know about the four different election dates in 2024. You've got your February primary, your April general, which is also the presidential primary. You'll have an August primary for the November general election, which includes president, U.S. Senate, whoever ends up running against Tammy Baldwin, legislature, Congress, and more. We spoke in our last hour about, as you heard in the news just now, banking mogul Eric Hovde, which was not my phrasing. I first saw it in the article in the Journal Sentinel by Lawrence Andrea. And so banking mogul Eric Hovde, I think, is the title that he's going to have for a while as he contemplates a final decision on running against Tammy Baldwin. Coming up later this hour, we'll begin a segment with the words of President Franklin Roosevelt when he says yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. It was part of a speech he gave to Congress 82 years ago today when describing the attack on Pearl Harbor. We will revisit our conversation earlier this year with author John Kinville, who wrote a book about a young man whose path took him from growing up in Chippewa Falls during the Depression to a Navy career and his time on the battleship California on that fateful day in Pearl Harbor. And through a series of letters, we get an intimate look at life in those months prior to the attack. And John Kinville wrote just a wonderful book about it. I would strongly recommend you heading over to johnkinville.com. That's John, J-O-H-N, Kinville is K-I-N-V-I-L-L-E, johnkinville.com, and picking up a copy of his book about World War II hero Harry Kramer. Along the way, if you'd like to join us, our number here is 844-967-2789. Call it, text it, use the Civic Media app along the way as well. And if you have a comment and you're watching on live on Facebook, leave it there. We may put it on screen as well. As we're looking at headlines here, the one that caught my eye most, and that, again, I will probably be making a bigger deal about this than most other news media sites because they'll chalk it up to politics as usual. But it is, again, a case of power politics or power trip, or I would argue a corrupt use of power that is leading state Senate Republicans to, again, either fail to seat or even unseat
members of the University of Wisconsin Hospital Board. The Republicans who control the state Senate Health Committee voted on Thursday against the nomination of a former member of the legislature from Dane County and also a longtime nursing union leader to posts on the hospital board after they were questioned by Republican senators about their views on abortion policy. That sets up the stage for the full Republican-led Senate to reject or approve three appointees to the UW Hospital Board, formerly known as the UW Hospital and Clinics Authority. Much of this information comes from an article in the Wisconsin State Journal by Alexander Schur that you should be a subscriber to. As you have heard by now, because of a quirk in how the confirmation process works in the Wisconsin legislature, if the Senate were to reject a nomination this long after they've been appointed and have already started doing the work, it is tantamount to firing that person, which is not what the confirmation process is supposed to be about. Again, when more honorable people are again leading the Wisconsin legislature, job one needs to be fixing that loophole. A loophole that existed for generations, but was not abused until Republicans took power and Governor Tony Evers was elected. That there have been people who have been doing their job for years after being appointed without Senate confirmation, because instead of simply appointing them and saying, you're the governor, you get to appoint who you want, we will turn down the appointment if there's something nefarious, you know, that you shouldn't be in that job in the first place. Rather than, well, you go ahead and do the job. You're qualified to do the job. But if we don't like you, then we'll take up your nomination and then we'll fire you. And that's how this process has been abused by Republicans for these past 4+ years. So this comes after Republican members of the committee talked to former Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton, former State Representative Sandy Pope, and Candace Owley, the Wisconsin Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals former president. And they were asked about whether the UW Hospital Board would spend state funds on abortion, even though that would be in violation of law. And it's something that has not been an issue at the UW Hospital Board for something like a decade. And yet Republicans on the committee voted against the appointees because they, as Andre Jacques, Republican from DePere, said he feared they would disregard state laws that conflict with their ideology. The questioning, the article says, at two separate October public hearings, focused on a UW health plan to offer second trimester abortions more than 10 years ago that never came to fruition because of widespread opposition. And yet, Andre Jacques and others questioned whether the Evers appointees would support a similar plan in the future. In other words, a hypothetical. Not about how they would manage the UW Hospital Board right now with patients who are sick right now with a pandemic that, you know, has been going on, but basically playing politics with a hypothetical question about abortion that was resolved about 10 years ago. That's where we are in the Wisconsin State Capitol right now. And of course, you had people like Sandy Pope saying that there's no reason to hold her accountable for things that happened before she was on the hospital board. And as she added, the hospital board follows the law. Owley said she wasn't knowledgeable about the plan from 10 years ago, but also said the board would comply with the law. But Republicans making up concerns about abortion hypotheticals are leading them in committee to vote against their nomination and to set up the full Senate Republicans to say, either you're fired or you cannot sit on the board for no valid reason whatsoever. It is, again, corrupt power politics at its worst, when you abuse a confirmation system in this way. Tony Evers won the election, and then he won re-election. He is the person Wisconsin voters chose. And yet, a handful of legislators have taken it upon themselves to try to veto the executive branch and, in essence, undermine the will of Wisconsin voters. You can do that when the maps are that gerrymandered. And that's one reason why you may see a change when the Wisconsin Supreme Court finally considers these rigged maps. Temperatures at 7:15 across Wisconsin look like this. It is 39 degrees up here on Lake Wissota, 40 degrees in Hayward. Park Falls is at 38. Wausau is at 35 right now. Green Bay is at 41. La Crosse, 45. Wisconsin Rapids, 43. Oshkosh is at 43, Madison 44, and Waukesha 41. So nice to have temperatures in the upper 30s and 40s as we head into a December weekend. Meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki from Weatherology joins us now to talk about how long this may last as we head into this December weekend. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, it is unseasonably warm here for this time of the year, as you've been mentioning. Those temperatures this morning already above the where we should be for afternoon highs for this time of the year. Sunshine expected for, today from Oshkosh down to Madison and over towards Milwaukee. Cloudier, becoming mostly cloudy for everyone else. Warmer for nearly everyone today compared to yesterday as that warm front fully pushes through. Though a cold front directly behind that system starts to come in for west central Wisconsin, so starting to cool around Amory and Baldwin today. Highs in the mid to low 50s from Oshkosh and everyone southward, mid to upper 40s for central and west central Wisconsin, again as that cold front starts to come in, so a little bit cooler there. It does look like a chance for some rain coming in late tonight from Wausau through southern Wisconsin. Saturday, a chance for some rain in the morning hours from Milwaukee to Richland Center and over towards Oshkosh, a slight chance for rain and snow mixing around Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids, and a chance for some snow Saturday afternoon around Amory and Baldwin. A drop in temperatures tomorrow as that cold front really comes in for everyone. Mid to upper 40s for the southern half of the state, mid to upper 30s for central and west central Wisconsin. Sunday, even cooler overall as that cold front fully pushes through, mid to low 30s primarily. Again, the coolest spots around Amory and Baldwin with highs in the upper 20s there, which will be slightly below average for this time of the year. Looks like sunshine for most though on Sunday with a little bit more cloud cover around central Wisconsin. Then by Monday, slightly warmer overall as a quick warm front pushes through, mid to upper 30s across the board with sunshine for all to start out the new work week.
All right, Jennifer, thank you so much. We appreciate it. It's Jennifer Vucicki from Weatherology joining us. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks so much, you too.
All right. Greg, as I was looking at the weather and trying to figure out ways to counter blessings on this, besides it being in the 40s and 50s at a time.
Yeah.
Have you seen how this so-called Pineapple Express is just bringing all this rain, a river of rain to the Pacific Northwest?
No.
And it's just, I mean, the floods are terrible. And I'm just wondering what it would take for that little shift to suddenly just bring us, because we have virtually no snow out there in many places of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, okay, now the temperature's going to get a little cooler. How much longer until that thing shifts and we start, shoveling, and we're not doing it yet. I know Thanksgiving was a couple of weeks back. I'm so thankful right now.
I told my wife like twice now, I'm like, I'm buying a snowblower, and I'm like, not yet.
Oh, I'm going to wait for it to snow and the prices will double. Yes, yeah. That's a great strategy.
I'm smart, Pat.
Hey, and in breaking news, I don't know if you caught it at the top of the hour, Vladimir Putin running for re-election. I like his odds. It's something. There's a reason Trump admires him. None of that pesky, democracy stuff. So
he's a winner.
Good luck to him in the coming campaign. We'll have more coming up in just a bit. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday morning, when you're here, you're up north. Back in a bit.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Welcome to Misty's Menu, the cozy small-town cafe that feels like home, with friendly faces and homemade food that'll warm your heart. Start your day off right with a fresh cup of roasted coffee. And how about a stack of their famous pancakes or a hearty breakfast sandwich to go with it? Or swing by for lunch and try their mouth-watering burgers and sandwiches, all made with the freshest ingredients and served with a smile. At Misty's Menu, you're not just a customer, you're part of the family. So stop in, take a seat, and let them treat you to a little taste of home. Misty's Menu, Highway 13 South, Wisconsin Rapids.
'Tis the season to satisfy your sweet tooth. Join West Grand Quality Foods this Saturday for the most delightful event of the year, the Holiday Cookie Walk. A winter wonderland of delicious cookies and sweets, beautifully arranged for you to stroll through and pick your favorites. Join Quality Foods at the West Grand location only this Saturday from 10 until 2 for a festive stroll of holiday sweetness. The Holiday Cookie Walk, where every step is a bit of delight. Get more details at qualityfoodswistrapids.com.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Hey. This was a song that was a remake of what was in the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory movie in 1971. Who can take a sunrise? Sammy Davis Jr. Did a remake of the song in 1972, and he immediately hated it. He said it was dreadful, that it was, you know, going to ruin his reputation. And instead, everybody loves it. It was his only number one hit, and it's the one we play after all these years later. So, you know, sometimes the things that you think aren't going to work out well for you work out just fine. All right, we're not going to spend a lot of time on Hunter Biden here, other than to say that, yes, it's certainly been a big media story since it was announced that there would be 9 new tax charges filed against President Joe Biden's son, and that the timing is, shall we say, not optimal for the election. But I do want to point out again that in many cases, Hunter Biden has paid back taxes that he may have owed, that these are charges that, were he not the son of a president, probably would not have even been filed, and that at no point has the president criticized the charges in a way that could come off as, you know, trying to pressure the Department of Justice, trying to pressure the IRS. Nobody's been, you know, threatened with jail the way, say, a Donald Trump would in this case. You know, basically, his defense attorney, Abby Lowell, accused the court of bowing to pressure and said, based on the facts and the law, if Hunter's last name was anything other than Biden, the charges in Delaware and now California would not have been brought. And again, the White House declined to comment, instead referred questions to the Justice Department or Biden's lawyers, not the kind of thing that you would see if these charges were brought against Donald Jr. or Eric or any of the other Trump kids. It's simply a double standard that continues to exist. It's more fodder for Congressman James Comer of the House Oversight Committee to again try to go looking for things that either have no relevance to Joe Biden, or things that aren't even there, or things like back taxes that have already been paid back. But such is the way that the media wants to treat something like this, when on the other hand, you have a former president currently on trial who could lose his business licenses in New York for millions upon millions of dollars in business fraud. And again, I promise you, if this weren't Donald Trump as part of a business fraud trial, if this had been Jimmy Carter's peanut farm, if this had been Barack Obama committing some kind of a business fraud with his book dealings or something, this trial would be covered nonstop. And instead, I bet a lot of you are not even aware there was a trial, and certainly aren't aware of any day-to-day in-depth coverage of it. Because it's just what we expect now. It's what we, Donald Trump, it's what he does. That's how he runs his business. So of course, he's going to be corrupt, not pay his taxes, inflate the value of his assets to get loans, deflate the value of his assets when it comes time to pay taxes. And yet we shrug it all off in a way that we would never do for anybody else, and certainly not from a political side of the aisle that does a little bit better job of following the rules. At no point has anybody said Hunter Biden should not be charged if he's committed any kinds of crimes. It's the inflation of the attention on it that is what I'm bringing up here. Hunter Biden, not a role model. If you're Joe Biden, first off, you love your son. You love him unconditionally. But you've watched him make a lifetime of bad decisions and the impact that it's had on your life, not just your political life, but your personal life, because it's a son that you love, but he continues to make bad decisions, many of his own volition, others, let's just say, you know, addiction is hell, and addiction makes you do things you never would have done beforehand. But at every point along the way, that president, that father has stood by his son, despite the attention and despite the personal emotional toll and despite the political cost. And that's fine. That's all fair game. Hunter Biden did what he did. But let's not forget where there are some double standards at play, how these charges would or would not have come out if his father weren't the president, and how these charges are covered versus what is demonstrably exponentially worse in terms of business fraud from a former president of the United States. Hey, if you've been following the NBA Cup, good news. You don't have to follow it anymore. Congratulations, Greg. I know you were following it closely. The NBA Cup was all that. You can go back to worrying about the regular season again. The tournament, our long national nightmare of caring about the NBA Cup, is over as the Bucks lose to the Indiana Pacers.
Hey, Pat.
Yeah?
Are you being sarcastic right now?
Me? Here's the thing. I sent a note to Joe Zepecki last night.
Yeah.
Good friend. Mm-hmm. Because Joe was the first one, when everybody else was all about, hey, Damian Lillard, it's going to be great. Can't wait to have him in here. It's going to be great. And Joe Zepecki was the very first one to say, I don't know. You get rid of Drew Holiday, who is a monster on defense. And yeah, Damian Lillard can score, but what's going to happen with our defense? And remember the other night, the Bucks scored 146 against the Knicks, but they gave up 122. And last night, they gave up 128, and they only scored 119. And so the Indiana Pacers move on to play the Lakers. But I sent the note to Joe Zepecki, because Dan Schaefer, you know, again, good friend of the show here, but he was very excited about the trade.
Yeah.
And Joe Zepecki less so, with these defensive concerns. And Joe said, I'm not going to say anything for like the first 30 games of the season. We're going to let things settle in. We're going to let things gel. And I sent the note to Joe last night going, okay, I think we've reached the point. You can go ahead and say I told you so on this, because that may be the story throughout the rest of the season here.
I don't know. I feel like if they were losing 140 to 95, maybe, but like teams have something. Like, I don't know. I think I don't know. I mean, to me,
I guess
it just doesn't make sense to start looking for oh no's, because the season is still pretty fresh.
Well, here's the thing. It's easier to constantly give up 120 points than it is to consistently score 130 or 140.
Yeah.
It's easy to give up the points. It's offense, you know, can you really give that output night after night after night? That's the question here. And I'm just saying at this point, it's a valid question.
Oh no, I totally understand that, but also we got to give them, I mean, they're all new players to each other and new coach and you know, this might not be their season. Maybe it's next season when the team really gels. I mean, that's the thing. It's like people are that's the big problem I have. Everyone's like, that's it, we're gonna win now. We're like, no, we're not gonna. There's no guarantee.
Oh no, we are in such a transition year now in Wisconsin sports with the Packers the same way, Badger football the same way,
the Brewers, Badger
volleyball.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. Hunter Biden's been indicted again. This time he's charged with evading federal taxes on more than a million dollars. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
It's not just a bare bones tax indictment. It's really a thorough vetting of Hunter Biden's lifestyle. from 2017 through 2020.
Police in Las Vegas say a gunman who killed three faculty members at UNLV Wednesday was a former professor who'd been turned down for a job at the university. Las Vegas Sheriff Kevin McMahill.
We're still learning a lot about this suspect. And still trying to understand motive.
Financier Ross Stevens threatening to withdraw a $100 million gift to his alma mater, UPenn, if the school president doesn't resign over testimony interpreted as anti-Semitic. Governor Shapiro.
Yeah, I've said many times leaders have a responsibility to speak and act with moral clarity. And Liz McGill failed to meet that simple test.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin will spend $6 million to provide free driver's education classes to 15,000 teenagers. The goal is to cut down on reckless driving. It's the first time Wisconsin has spent money on driver's education since 2004. Students who get free or reduced meals at school would qualify. It's one of dozens of bills Governor Evers signed into law Wednesday. Wisconsin is getting $2.5 million to study new Amtrak service in Madison, Green Bay, and Eau Claire that would connect with Milwaukee, Chicago, and the Twin Cities. Wisconsin is also getting federal grants to support studying expanded service between Milwaukee and Chicago on the existing Hiawatha line, as well as adding a third daily round trip between Chicago, Milwaukee, and the Twin Cities through Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
More clouds than sun today with a high of 49. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, chance for scattered rain showers 35.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Currently, it's 43.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. By the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
I tell you, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit wesaysaveit.org. That's wesaysaveit.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
When President Franklin Roosevelt delivered those remarks the following day to Congress, the American people were not fully aware of the extent of damage done or the lives lost. Four battleships sunk, four others severely damaged, more than 150 aircraft destroyed and just as many damaged, about a dozen other ships damaged. The U.S. fleet was crippled and 2,400 Americans were dead. Among them, Chippewa Falls native Harry Kramer, serving on the battleship California. His passing was marked here in Chippewa Falls, of course, but over the years, as people moved away or passed away, Harry Kramer was all but forgotten until Chi-Hi teacher John Kinville and others took on a project that led to a discovery that allowed him to tell us all about Harry's life so that we don't just see a great big number on a death toll. We see each as an individual life with a history, with challenges and dreams, but not the future that they'd imagined. Here's our conversation with author John Kinville from last April 25th. You're a teacher at Chippewa Falls High School.
Correct.
How did you go from being a teacher at Chippewa Falls to working to learn more about, you know, past Chippewa Falls students, you know, and who have passed away, and then have that go into a book? It sounds like the first step was that you learned about or started Flags for the Fallen.
Yeah. So I teach American government, Pat, to high school students. And as I've gone through my career, I wanted to look for something that would bring people together, bring students together, bring communities together. And oftentimes our government, our society can be very divided. And I've always had an interest in the military. And when I was in high school, I wanted to join the Air Force. And due to childhood asthma issues, I was not able to fulfill that dream. So I went into public service to be a teacher. So in 2009, a colleague and I decided to create this organization here at the school. It's voluntary. We don't get paid a dime. It's called Flags for the Fallen. And we had noticed that our school did not have a tribute to veterans or fallen veterans. And so we wanted to identify who are the servicemen and women who have died in the various wars from our high school here in Chippewa Falls. And so currently we have a list of 41 that died from our school, going back from the Civil War all the way to the War on Terrorism. And Harry W. Kramer was one of those 41. And so our club has been, and again, these are students who volunteer, but they volunteer their time to research who these men are, do the genealogy, and try to reach out to surviving descendants. And one of the soldiers who really piqued an interest with myself and the students was Harry W. Kramer, because he served in the Navy pre-World War II, and he lost his life on the USS California battleship as part of the December 7th, 1941 attack at Pearl Harbor. And so we were able to do some genealogy. We found some of his surviving descendants, including his niece Evelyn. And Evelyn was gracious enough to drive up from La Crosse to meet with me and the students. And she had this box, and it was a box filled with everything that they had, the family had, on Harry Kramer. But what was interesting was that none of the surviving nieces and nephews, they didn't really know much about Harry, because his death had created such a tragic ripple effect that it just became easier to not talk about him. So his parents didn't talk about him. His brother didn't talk about him. His brother's wife didn't talk about him. And so the nieces and nephews, they knew that Uncle Harry was this person, but they didn't know much about him. And so Now, Flags of the Fallen, we then research these soldiers, and then we try to travel to places that are connected with their service and sacrifice. So twice now, I've taken students to Pearl Harbor, and we've gone to the naval base, we've gone to the museums, and also we have gone to the National Memorial Cemetery of the Pacific, otherwise known as the Punch Bowl, where Harry is buried. And so twice I've taken students there. And I actually have a group of 54, a whole bus. We're going back again to see Harry next summer. So summer of 2024. But it's been quite a ride, Pat. Quite a ride.
Oh, I can scarcely imagine when I finished the book, and well before I finished the book, you know, what came to me was the fact that this was somebody who, in essence, in that metaphorical sense, you know, not the literal sense, you brought him back to life. You brought his life back because of that box of mementos, which included, was it 32 or 33 letters that are in there that he had written or had gone back and forth, which is really the foundation of the book. Is you start with these letters, but then you weave, woven between them is your text about, you know, what was going on in the news? What would they have been reading about in the Chippewa Herald-Telegram at the time?
Yeah.
But I can scarcely imagine what it was like to read the letters in that box and to realize that this was an actual life, not just some name on a plaque, you know, but an actual life that you could tell people about.
You know, when I contacted the publisher with the idea, they said, you know, John, people love to read about Patton. They love to read about Eisenhower, but they may not be willing to read about an individual sailor from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, who, oh, by the way, was the first Chippewa County casualty in what would become World War II. And I told the publisher, I said, you know, I disagree with you a little bit, and here is my plan. The plan was, let's take the letters. They serve as the foundation, as you pointed out, and let's try to take him as a microcosm, a case study, if you will, and let's try to piece together the start to World War II from the perspectives of multiple stakeholders simultaneously. So we've got Harry, Harry's letters. He's going through the Navy. He's going aboard a battleship. He's becoming a very trusted member of the battleship crew on the California. And then you have his parents, who are back home in Chippewa Falls, like so many parents back in Wisconsin, who are reading the daily drip of newspaper headlines in this obvious, this really obvious march to war that people just don't want to admit is happening.
No, and there's not, on top of that, this is still, the Depression is still going full bore, and Harry's father has been going, you know, from job to job. Things have not gone, you know, especially well for him. Harry decides his best path forward in this Depression era, while there are rumblings of, you know, war in Europe, is to seek a career in the U.S. Navy. And I don't want to give too much of the book away, but basically he signs up. They, you know, they all gather for Harry. They wish him well. And then you see these series of letters about hoping to come back home at some point, but he's joined the Navy. They've shipped him right out to California because, yep, you know, there's basically the ramp up to possible war. The preparations are there, even as the nation, like I said, in your narrative is like, hey, let's do everything possible to stay out of this, all going in the crux of this 1940 presidential election with Franklin Roosevelt running for an unprecedented third term. There's a lot to digest there for a young man, much less his parents.
Yeah, you know, 100%, Pat. And there's so many subplots within this book. I mean, you've got Harry, you've got his parents, you've got his brother and that relationship. And then you've got, like you said, the national politics. What I did was I read the Chippewa Herald and the Leader Telegram daily between this and from 1919 all the way to 1949, I think it was. So I tried to encapsulate everything that's happening. And as all these different subplots are ultimately colliding on December 7th, 1941, Harry is allowed to join the service.
And so he does. He goes through everything that's basic. You get these letters. And again, no internet here. So sometimes there's a large gap between the letters where he has to fill things in. And by the way, It's not all serious. It's not all war. It's not all news. There's very much a social component to Harry's life. This kid from Depression era Chippewa Falls and living life on some very positive terms in Hawaii before the dark days of war.
You know, Harry was a good boy. He's like so many of our up north men and women who are joining the military. They come from good families. They're very stable. And they want to do the right thing. And Harry has an appetite for life. And being in the Depression, you know, food is a tough commodity to get a hold of. And one of the things, and Pat, you read this, that he just loves all the food he gets to eat in the Navy.
The pineapple, for example.
Yes. And he discovered what I discovered, that they send all the junk pineapple to the mainland and they keep right. good stuff for themselves. Mm-hmm. But he's having a blast. And back then, as it is today, but being stationed at Pearl Harbor was the creme de la creme. And part of that was sort of some built-in arrogance in the military that Pearl Harbor was immune to any type of a military attack because of its placement so far away from, we'll call it, the troubles in Japan. And so everybody's having a good time. And within this, though, Harry's also a very good boy. He's not getting involved with maybe the drunkenness that a lot of young men are prone to get involved in. He's not a party guy. He's very religiously devout. He loves to go to the different churches that are part of his faith when he goes to different leaves. He's a very studious young man. And as he takes his tests to achieve different ranks as a fireman within the ship, he's one of the highest scorers on the ship. They're sort of competing in different departments on the ship as to where he gets to go, because all of these officers want him to work as part of their crew. And so he's just exactly what you want to see.
And make sure that because he is getting these bumps in pay, getting a $5 bump in pay per month is a big deal in 1940, 1941. And so then being able to help, his parents, who again are still coping with the Depression. And so now let's go all the way in the other direction. We've talked about the Civil War, Harry Kramer, and World War II, and now you're working with students today who obviously now they have some experience with the war on terrorism and what we're going through today. But what do you think they're getting out of this, learning about Harry Kramer and the others whose lives were lost for their country, who were born and raised in Chippewa Falls? What are they going to get out of it by going to Pearl Harbor, by seeing Harry's grave, and by reading your book?
Well, first of all, I've had a lot of students end up joining the armed services. And so that's been unexpected. I mean, there's no advertising pitch, but I think what these students are really gaining from it, just from my observations, is they do want a connection to our country. You know, I'm a hopeless romantic when it comes to the United States. And you can see behind me, I've got George Washington's my favorite figure. So I've got George Washington everywhere. And I love this country. And what I've always been drawn to with the military is that there's something very selfless, very honorable, and maybe the most selfless and most honorable than to either enlist and to donate your time to your country and to risk life and limb, but also if your country drafts you. And the fact that you would still go through the motions when your country needs you. And so to me, I've always been drawn to it because it really speaks to the best of who we are and what our country can be. And so people like Harry, at the end of the day, it in the military, it doesn't matter what your religion is to a great extent. It doesn't matter what your background is. It's a matter of you're part of the fighting force. And of course, on Pearl Harbor, there's 2,403 enlisted and civilian deaths. And it galvanizes a country in a way that very few things have. And of course, we have that with 9/11 in my generation. So for me, with the students, a lot of it has to do with just letting them know that not everything has to be divisive, that not everything has to be an argument, that there are larger beliefs and values that unite us as Americans. And I've always believed that those who have died for this country can serve as a grounding point for all of us, just to remember what those basic values that bring us together as countrymen.
You can get the book at johnkinville.com. Back after this, you're up north.
The festive extravaganza is this weekend at Rudolph Country Christmas on December 9th. The Run Run Rudolph 5K starts at 10:30. Then join us from 11 to 6 for a day filled with holiday joy. Meet Santa and his reindeer from 2 to 5:30. Create magical memories with your loved ones watching the spectacular fireworks display at 5:45. Then end the day with the lighted Christmas parade at 6. It's the Rudolph Country Christmas, where the magic happens. See you on December 9th.
Ho, 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 ho! Auto Value has once again teamed up with Toys for Tots to help deliver hope to less fortunate children this Christmas. Now through December 15th, you can drop off a new unwrapped toy or cash donation at any participating Auto Value parts store. Your toy or cash donation will not only help Santa, but also allow one more child to experience the magic of Christmas. On behalf of everyone at Auto Value and the North Pole, we thank you. Ho, ho, ho!
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
I'm going to forego the usual Grateful Dead. Dan Schumacher joining us now to, again, remember this day in 1980 when John Lennon was murdered outside the Dakota in New York City. And Dan is what I would refer to as a youngin. He and I do have memories of other people's reactions from that mm-hmm. day. Dan, good morning.
Good morning.
So yeah. you're saying your mom took it.
My mom took it hard. Yeah, my mom was a huge Beatles fan. I think you and I talked about a little bit texting last night. I mean, I remember my aunt telling me that how upset my mother was that she went into her bedroom for like two days when Kennedy got shot. You know, she's an Irish Catholic from the south side of Chicago, and Kennedy was everything of that. And in my mom's music world, the Beatles were everything to her. And to see John Lennon go down, it was just like, you know, Kennedy, then Robert Kennedy, and now John Lennon. It's like, I just remember just her constantly questioning where the world's going with that, you know.
And then, unfortunately, after that, not too much longer after that, President Reagan, and then Pope John Paul had been shot and wounded. So, you know, it was when I was in high school at that point and was on mm-hmm. the speech team. The speech that I wrote up and gave in competition was about gun safety, that, you know, we'd seen too much of this. I mean, you had, you know, the Lynyrd Skynyrd songs, Mr. Saturday Night Special, all about yep. how easy it is to get guns and kill people. And, you know, it's unfortunately now it's not just, you know, snub-nosed pistols. Now it's, you know, automatic weapons that are just mowing people down, something we still need to take seriously. But from the loss of an icon, again, you just don't, much like assassinating a president, you just don't expect events like that. And, you know, especially somebody as young and vibrant as a John Lennon or a John Kennedy or a Bobby Kennedy, it's just not fair. So obviously we do have, you know, reaction stories like these.
No doubt about it. No doubt yep. about it.
All right. What is happening in the world of Northland College up in Ashland? What are you working on?
Well, we got big doubleheader today versus UW Superior in basketball, men's and women's basketball. And we've got hockey tomorrow at home. Then we're on a little bit of a break like the rest of the college world is at Division III. Kind of shuts down for those 2 weeks of Chris, you know, last week of finals and then the week of Christmas leading up to New Year's. And then we resume play on January 2nd and getting in a full swing of everything for the winter sports. That'll be statewide. High school and college, to be honest with you. So busy times, but good times to see the teams compete. And, you know, I think our men's basketball team is going to make a move this weekend, which they've been playing better and better. So excited to see where we go.
Then you got the Badger volleyball team looking dominant. I was looking for a word other than dominant, trying to find the non-cliche word, but they are. That's where they are right now.
He's done an unbelievable job at that program, you know.
But you,
I'll be selfish.
You had family ties yesterday in last night's game, and not for the Badgers.
No, my cousin, my godfather's, my dad's brother's kid is the head volleyball coach for Penn State.
What's her
Katie
name?
Schumacher.
So. Schumacher. So we, you know, at first when we were sitting with friends last night and we said, well, Dan says it's his cousin. And we're like, really? And then the coach comes up and they put her name up on there. And we're like, son of a gun. He's right. It's not that, why would you lie?
Yeah, my cousin, she's a legend. She's a two-time Illinois player of the year. She went to Penn State, won two national championships, went to the Olympics. She just stepped off the bus, Pat, in the year the Olympics were in Atlanta when the bomb went off.
Oh.
You remember that? The guy yes,
somebody set up. Yeah, 1996. Yep. Yep.
She was just getting off the bus and got right back on the bus because there was a festival going on.
Sure.
As part of the Olympics there. So yeah, she's been through the coaching ranks and she's at her alma mater, which I think was a destiny for her with the legendary Russ Rose, her own coach, retiring. So, you know, I don't have any doubt that she's gonna have continued success. She doesn't work, nobody works harder than her and is tough as her. So but last night was fun volleyball to watch, actually. I enjoyed the match from start to finish.
Yeah, I did as well. And then folks who want to follow the Badgers further can watch them take on Oregon. By the way, Oregon or Oregon? Do we ever?
It's Oregon.
Potato, potato. Oregon. I don't know.
Oregon?
If you go to Oregon and call it Oregon, they're going to be like, what did you just say?
Well, it's like, how is it that people in 49 other states think that Wisconsin has an E at the beginning because they all say Wisconsin. Like,
yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Where does that come
those
from?
Those are the same people.
The credit union spells it that way.
Wisconsin, well, yeah, but that's on purpose. But everybody else is like, Wisconsin, what?
That's the same people who think that the word milk has an E in it.
Milk? the other one, now we're going off on a tangent here, is that when you meet people from, say, Texas, for example, they love to make Wisconsin people say bag. They think the way we say bag, like we put an extra syllable in there, some bag, and we always tell them to say ice because it comes off as a naughty word. They can't say ice.
Hey, when I went to college in the early 80s, crick and creek. I came from the world, south side of Chicago, where we called it creek. I get to Minnesota and go to college, and they're calling it crick.
Oh, yeah. If you're in Sherry's hometown and you refer to that, if you don't call it Mud Creek, they know you're not from around here because it's a creek.
Yep.
Never had any cricks where I was. And then, of course, our long national nightmare is over. As I told Greg earlier, we don't have to pay attention to the NBA in-season tournament anymore. So we've got that going for us.
You know what? I'm going to say this right now. Since the basketball cup started, it was
the NBA Cup. Let's get it right. I mean, this is the prestigious.
Sorry, NBA the NBA Cup. The NBA Crick Cup. It has been the pointed subject of jokes on every show. Like Todd's show, your show, our show. Like it's been no one has an idea of what's going on. No one understands why it's happening. And then you're like, oh, and they also get $500,000 a piece if they win. This is dumb.
Yeah.
and yet, what have we been talking about?
Exactly. They win.
We've been talking about it. Would we talk about four regular season games in December otherwise? We would not.
Fair point.
What's the old line from the old NBC sports president Don Ebersol had a famous quote, "The answer to all your questions is money." And so there.
Just follow the money.
That's it. Just follow the money.
Follow the money.
All right. Anyway, so we'll talk about the Bucks are hosting the Bulls Monday night, and we'll see how that goes. Dan, you have a great weekend. Thanks for sitting in for a little bit here and sharing your memory. Appreciate it.
Later.
All right, Greg, have a fun time at the Laughing Tap tonight.
Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
All right. We'll see you on Monday morning, and we'll see all of you as well. Earl Ingram is coming up at 8 o'clock on most of these Civic Media stations. Chad Holmes is next on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. Stephanie Miller in Madison. James and friends over in Wisconsin Rapids. They're all followed by As Goes Wisconsin with Greg and with Jane. Todd Alba at noon, Matt Flynn at 2, and Devil's Advocates at 4, Maggie Dawn at 6. Stick around for much more across the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day and a great weekend. Imagine though.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hold on to your jingle bells. Pluto TV has all your holiday favorites for free. Enjoy Christmas classics like Scrooge with Bill Murray or Last Holiday with Queen Latifah. Plus, dive into festive channels like Holiday Movie Favorites by Lifetime or Hallmark Movies and more. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming holiday favorites on live channels and on demand. With thousands of free movies and TV shows, Pluto TV is your home for the holidays. Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A new headache for the president's son. Last night, a federal grand jury in California indicted Hunter Biden on 9 counts of evading taxes. He's